sure we're not frivolous.
A little bit of technical difficulties.
Yeah, I think so.
We're getting close.
Phil, if I'm not speaking.
You're live and in color here, I promise.
Worried about this screen. This monitor doesn't have us live. Okay, so apologize. All right, let's get started. I'd like to call to order the Recreation and Parks Commission special meeting today on Thursday, April 28th, where we're going to be focusing on the Teen Center Master Plan. This is going to be a public hearing this evening. So first, I'd like to start off with roll call. Commissioner Romero.
Here.
Commissioner Ayub.
Here.
Bates.
Here.
Tonight we'll be continuing the conversations. We're then going to have a public hearing, and that will be an opportunity to further have discussion. We're going to have an intermission after the workshop and then jump into the public hearing, and then we'll have a discussion on the components of the Teen Center Master Plan that will be led by Mr. Woods, and then we'll adjourn the meeting. So with that, I'll turn it over to Mr. Woods.
Thank you, Chair Hale. Good evening, Commission. Good evening, folks at home and those who are at the workshop. Our workshop will be all-encompassing, so that I'm going to ask the Commission to come down and join us in the audience, take some seats. We've got some visuals, and we have a small agenda we want to go through. We're going to be talking about the history of this project and the potential funding. We will also talk about the workshops that have happened and the one that is happening this evening, and also some of the options that are coming out of these workshops. The first three, we actually generated enough information and concepts to do some design work, and you'll see those a little bit later. And then we will also do a small exercise. We'll be voting on certain options and components of the Teen Center. And then we actually go into a few other items, such as public art and sustainable concepts and designs. So with that, I would ask the Commission to come down and join us for the workshop.
Xbox games, Dance Dance Revolution, air hockey, billiards, ping pong, foosball. We've got four computer stations. We've got a big screen TV with movies. Just a lot of amenities at the site for teens and their friends to come in and hang out and enjoy a safe environment. That's also giving them an opportunity to become independent of their families, striking out, socializing with friends, and just growing as an individual community. After the center got going, it was just a drop-in type of use. We started master planning the site. The potential for the site is quite large. You'll see an option, this is going to be an option one, when you use this as a demonstration, there is an existing facility that is on the site. Was this design. So not only did they want to keep the existing scene center site, all those participants were asking about a basketball court. So that was incorporated into this design. Skate park was a high interest, and we had detailed workshops with the design company to really formulate exactly what the teams were looking for. We had clay models. The reason why we're having this workshop tonight, and we've had the last three, is because a couple of years back, it was a mid-range priority for city council or staff to develop financing funding for this T-set master plan. Remember, in 06, the council finalized this concept, but there's no money at the time. So from 06 until now, really it's kind of been just out there waiting for this environment, waiting for the opportunity. And that's what we'd like. We'd like to have the design concepts ready to go, and the funding comes, we can go out there. Proposition 84 made funds available last year in round one. It's a statewide revitalization, recreation revitalization, basically, the top 84 is about $360 million, half of which was allocated last year to various applicants. And the second round will be offered up this year, and the deadline for application is July. So we feel that you're ready to meet that application deadline. We're going through this process because the application for top 84 funds. One of the stipulations that you need to have public workshops, public input, in order to November 2006. So anything that we did previous November 2006 doesn't really count for this project. But that's what we're going through. And it's been a while. It's been 5 years. Some things have been changed, some things have been changed. So, how is it for statewide park development community revitalization? This is up to $5 million in grant monies, and it requires no matching funds. And that's why this grant is so appealing to agencies that are looking to add parks and add different amenities to other communities. No match. Minimum of half a million, maximum 5 million. We feel that the project that we have here will certainly be a financial item. More details on property for and this grant. There's a green sheet on the back table there. So if you want to get some further details, pick one up. And if you have any questions about that, just let us know tonight or any time in the future. There are certain points that are awarded for certain elements of the application. And public input and how we come up with consensus of the components of this project are rated at different levels. So we're trying to get as many points as we can on as many different items within the application so we'll be successful in getting this particular grant. So with that, we know that we've had other workshops, and I'm going to turn it over to Jan DeLeo. Jan is a consultant. hired to help us with the grant application. We feel it's very important that we're successful. It's a great opportunity for us to fund this particular project, which has been on the books for quite some time. And Jan DeLeo brings her expertise in the process, so I'll turn it over to Jan now.
Some of you were at the previous workshops. Let's see back this time.
Because we have to be a bunch of companies to stop this and reset. We would take
a minute break.
Podium will work.
Can we turn it around?
That mic I just unplugged for the boundary room. Absolutely.
You can do five things at once. Okay. Can everybody see everything and everybody here? Is that much better? I think some of you were at the first couple workshops. Some of the teens came to, I think, all of the workshops, so you're kind of familiar with the results of some of the workshops. I don't know if the commissioners have looked at the summary sheets and such, so you're pretty familiar, and I won't belabor any of this. I guess just as you could see from the numbers in the summary sheet, I believe was on the web page as well, there were some items that were real favorites. And for the most part, a lot of the items that were in the 2005 plan were still favorites in 2011. I think one of the surprise options, and then we're going to have you vote. When you vote, though, you only get one vote this time. You're not getting 10 dots again. So your vote is very important in terms of determining that priority. And one of the things we're trying to do, and which is a big item for the grant also, is attempting to get consensus. And so if we can get consensus tonight, we'll be able to do at the local level what nobody's been able to do at any other level. But that's what our goal is tonight. So rather than going over the workshop summaries, unless somebody wants more detail than that, you have on the back of your agenda is the summary. Table one is the same document that's right there, and it tells you basically how people voted the last time. At workshops one and two, everybody got 10 dots, and they could use all 10 dots on one item, or they could spread them out. So you will see that there's higher numbers on number one and two. At the third workshop, we didn't have quite the same number of people, and we only allowed them 5 dots, and that's why the totals are much lower on workshop three. With that, I'll go through the options unless there's some questions. Yes. No, you know, I didn't really, to be honest with you, I didn't even think about it. I think the fact that we only used 5 dots in the last one felt like it threw it off a little bit, so that was part of the reason. But to be honest with you, I didn't even think of totaling them up. And it was just a different group, and so I think we were trying to show, too, that the different groups maybe have different preferences. So with that, if we could go to option one. And then you can kind of follow along. Again, in the back of the agenda is table two, and it tells the difference between the different options. And we're going to double play this because he said that if I use the pointer, they can't see it at home. So where I point, he's going to also use the little mouse. This option one, is from the 2005 workshops that were held, actually prior to 2005, and so this is the original plan that was done for the Teen Center site. And I'm going to just kind of go through it quickly. I think most of you have seen it, but it does have the skate park, about 14,000 square feet. It has an advanced area over in this location. It definitely has the Teen Center. It has some picnic areas. I think those are picnic tables up in that area. It has a basketball court. an amphitheater, and also a viewing area. So this was designed so you could watch people in the modular skate park as well as in the concrete skate park above. And it had about a 2,000-square-foot classroom, which I think there's restrooms in there as well. Sorry, that was me. I hit the mouse. So that was the original, and we're not proposing any changes in the options to the parking lot. The parking lot stays the same. So that is option one. And then I'm going to show you kind of what the changes are. So if we go to option two now. So at option two, one of the kind of a key component when you're designing things, obviously you want to take, you know, as well, but sometimes we have constraints that we can't get around. And one of the constraints we have is that there were grant funds that were used for the modular skate park. So the modular skate park, which was also very popular with the teens, because a lot of them wanted not only the modular skate park, but a BMX option. It was very popular, but there was, when we started trying to lay this out, as usual, you're trying to in a 5-pound bag, and so you start to feel like you need to get rid of something. Well, one option was to maybe get rid of the modular skate park. Because it was purchased with grant funds, that's not really a realistic option. It needs to go somewhere. It doesn't really make sense to have a modular skate park at one side in the city and then a concrete skate park somewhere else. It makes sense to have them together. So in most cases, we're going to show them together. But by trying to squeeze the gymnasium in, which we've added down below, and they have a kind of a set size, we needed to reduce a little bit the size of the concrete skate park. And you'll notice under this option, one of the things we got rid of is that advanced bowl. The modular skate park is still in there, but the advanced bowl is out. So we reduced the size a little bit of the concrete skate park. We don't have a basketball court anymore because now we've added the gymnasium. In option one, the classroom was back further. We've now moved the classroom up towards the parking lot. And the idea behind that is that when the amphitheater is not being used, you can sit and talk in that location as well.
A couple of things I would add on would be, you'd notice there's bike lockers as well as bike racks. So if someone was to use public transportation or biked all the way to the site, they could actually lock up their bike for an overnight if they had another way home, or they could use the bike racks just for the day use. So that was a new component. And there was also picnic tables with a barbecue, which is just behind the existing on the west side. And that particular area, there was some talk about adding an outside pizza kitchen, outside pizza oven, yeah, to do small parties with, and that would be an area that you could sit down and either have a sack lunch or actually prepare a meal there as well. So that was a new option. And then the amphitheater and the viewing area, obviously, is self-explanatory, but there's the perimeter walls. Are actually sit-down walls where you could go and just sit down and view the skating, or you could view just the whole site itself. But then again, it also gives you a buffer between the other elements on the site.
And Joe made me think of a couple of other things. One of the things we've talked about, too, as it came out of the workshops and also just as a result of looking at the site one more time, is that you may have monster skate park events. You may have big games in the gymnasium, and your parking is limited. Most of those activities are going to happen on weekends or holidays when the school's not in play. So what we added in the back here is a gate where we can use Morro Bay High School's parking lot and get people in through the back, basically so they don't have to walk all the way around. So that was another thing that got added as well. And unless Joe has something else he wants to add, I think that's...
That's about it. And you do see a sliding gate down on the east side of this site, and that's just for site security. That would go across. That may or may not stay depending on where the classroom is, but you see it on here, and it's basically just some kind of a control point that we could close off the back portion of this particular site for security reasons, either overnight or when it's closed.
Okay, and then one last thing. We're not sure we're going to need them, but we did put a sound wall in. You're going to have amplified sound in this area. You want to make sure you're not impacting the adjacent neighbor. So that's that. Now we go to option two.
Three.
I'm sorry.
Three.
I don't know how to count. Okay. The change with this is that you have a lot of all the same components, so I'm really just going to go through the changes. We've moved the classroom back. It's still the same size. It still has a kitchen. Just because if we move the classroom back, there's some thought that we might put restrooms in the classroom that the gymnasium would use. And to be honest with you, we're going to have to work out the restroom issue. We're not sure where they're going to be. But there was some thought that if they were adjacent to one another, there could be shared use of a restroom or restrooms. And so then that, this open area, kind of where an area people can sit around and talk, was moved up to the front. You no longer have an amphitheater in this option. One of the things that came out of a couple of the workshops was let's have a turf area where we could go throw a ball or whatever. You know, there's different feelings about turf because you have to water it, but this option does show the lawn area, and then you still have your viewing area. So this is basically a place you could hang out. And we've increased the size of the skate park back to almost where it was before and added the bowl. And to be honest with you, the spacing on this probably isn't correct, and you probably could get the skate park probably back to the 14,000 square feet. It just means you're going to have to cut your viewing area back a little ways. So, and those are the basic changes in option three.
I'd like to add into the, you see the modular skate park in the back there, and as Jan had said earlier, we need to retain this particular component to the site, but it doesn't necessarily have to be in that design. So knowing that we want a modular skate park here and keep it, maybe it changes and it's linear along the skate park or not. But it needs to be on there somewhere. And when we added the gymnasium and we went from option one, which is an outside court, to option now three, which is an inside court, you put on some different constraints on the site, and you'll notice that in the very front you've got gym and classroom access. That needs to be a 20-foot access all the way from the front to the gym, which limits your site as far as space. So if we're going to maintain a 20-foot exit, have the possibility of larger capacities in that particular site, that volume of people warrants a larger exit route, and I believe it's 20 foot unobstructed.
Does it have vehicle access, or is it strictly pedestrian?
I understand that's just for the occupants and not for vehicles. But we would certainly want to follow up on that if the options were at the end of our workshops were to conclude and we were going to be looking to have an indoor gymnasium.
So it sounds to me, too, like the trade-off then in that case, if you need the circulation through here and you still want it to have the advanced bowl, your viewing area and your lawn would condense in order to get that passage as well. So just a thought.
Yeah, so you as we're going, now we're in option three, and you're starting to understand what option one looked like, what option two looked like. Now this is what option three looked like. And these components that we're adding in from option one and into these other options are things that were stimulated and brought up and voted on in the workshops 1, 2, and 3. So realize that we're formulating these different designs based on the workshops and based on the input of all the participants. But with those different elements come conditions and restrictions. Question, please.
The reason I ask is that classroom bigger than the studio?
This classroom would be. The question was, how does this classroom compare to the studio room at the Morbay Community Center? And it's going to be a slightly larger. I think I think you're looking at. Yeah, I'm thinking maybe even three times. I think the classroom, our studio at the community center, is going to be. somewhere around 900 to 1,100 square feet.
Joe, how big is this room here? It's
3,000.
Is it 3,000 right here? This building?
Oh, no.
This room right here. Yeah, it was.
$5,000.
So it's
going to
be twice as big as this?
It would. You know, I don't have that number off the top of my head.
This is about 2,400.
Yeah. We're guessing somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 square feet.
So it'd be relatively similar, a little bigger than this. Is that about right?
Just about this size is what we're looking at.
So it could be smaller. I mean, there's no magic. Adding the kitchen adds the part of the problem, but, you know, you can limit the classes you're holding in it, obviously, and you're probably, for a cooking class, for example, I don't know that you're going to get 100 people. You might get, you know, you probably contain it anyway because your kitchen can only serve so many people. So one option, too, is to reduce, again, the size. Stipulate that if you want the kitchen, that it be in there, but maybe it doesn't need to be so large.
And this particular design actually lends itself to be a divisible type of a facility, so you actually could have two rooms within this with a movable wall.
Well, that was one question, because I saw some folks had then got a separate communication from another individual expressing interest in, again, kind of a workshop space for people to shape surfboards and work on, you know, which obviously requires some storage, requires some, you know, obviously space. There's probably, you know, safety things to consider there. But, I mean, is that an applicable use of this classroom? Is that a potential use of that classroom?
I'm going to reiterate the question, if I could, because you don't have a microphone and they may not be able to hear us on the tape. That could the classroom either house or somehow work into a crafts type of a facility where we could do light manufacturing? Like kayak building. I have an email from an individual who's interested in having a workshop type of a facility where there could be bike repair or skateboard repair or design or even, you know, constructing of kayaks or surfboards or stand-up boards. And those are definitely excitable type of ideas. One of the reasons why you don't see that in our options is because this is a commercial visitor serving zone, and it's not manufacturing zone. So the zoning could be an obstacle. I'm not saying it for certain, but I think it would be an obstacle that we'd have to approach, and that's why you don't see that in these options. Now, if we're really getting, you know, a heavy demand for this type of a facility that we could do light manufacturing or some kind of a light craft, then if it couldn't be incorporated in the existing classroom through workshops or things like that, and it would have to be a manufacturing, then it would be a problem. But I think if you had smaller classes, say we're going to do some design work on, you know, a certain particular, or, you know, how to fix your bike, kind of a workshop, that's fine. But if we're setting up...
I have a question.
Sure.
I don't know anything about skateboarding and all that, except to see the kids whizzing. I think I know what the difference is between a modular skate park and a regular skate park. But
what's the difference?
Why would you put in the two? I think one has boards that can move up and down.
The modular skateboard is above ground, and it's usually composed of wood. There's an existing modular skate park at the teen center, so that's the modular skate park we're talking about. The concrete skate parks, have you seen the skate park in Los Osos by any chance?
I've seen the one in Santa Barbara.
Okay, yeah, down at the beach,
yeah.
The same thing. It's concrete. It's a different skating experience, and in this case, I think the thought is, and Joe can jump in here, is that the modular would be more for the beginner skaters. One of the things we heard really strongly is they wanted a BMX component. The modular would also allow for BMX. It might have to be scheduled, but they would allow for BMX. The concrete is, obviously, they're bowls, and typically there are concerns with allowing, for example, BMX in concrete skate parks because the different components, such as the handlebars, tend to chip the concrete, and then you tend to lose your skating experience over time. So this way we can potentially offer the concrete skate experience as well as the BMX and the modular. So they are different.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Okay, option four.
One of the things when we, now at the first workshop, which was, we had, I should back up for a second, we had about 20 people at the first two workshops, and then I think we had maybe 10 to 15 at the second, the third workshop, so that it kind of tapered off at that. But the teens didn't necessarily talk about a gymnasium, but one of the things that they did like the idea of was rather than the basketball court, going with this outdoor multi-use court. And I mentioned it previously. So the teen center, for example, could have netting and different equipment, and you could get it from the teen center, and then you could go play whatever. I think you would have gone ahead probably and put the basketball standards up, but it just would offer more options. I think one of the other things we heard from the teens was they wouldn't mind an area where they could do hockey, a skating hockey and stuff like that. So something along these lines, you could do different games out on an asphalt surface, basically, is what it is. So it would be sized a little bit larger to accommodate different types of court activities. It would be an outdoor facility. It wouldn't be roofed or anything. And this is very similar to actually option one, except then again, we moved the classroom up to the front of the lot. We still have the access in the rear from the high school, assuming we can get an agreement with them. We still have the amphitheater. Again, I think the skate park is a little bit, the concrete skate park is a little bit smaller to accommodate the modular, but we don't need the 20-foot access anymore, and we can play with those components. We think we can make them fit. Anything else, John?
Yeah, I would add, and exactly that, if you don't need the 20-foot wide access or exiting from the gym, it allows you to bring that classroom up to the front of the site. And staff feels that this is an advantage for different types of users. You could have evening, if the teen center was closed, you could still have an activity in the classroom, which would allow folks just to come right in, as we said earlier, and access that facility and not any other part of the site. And I think that's for security reasons and liability reasons, that's very desirable. The multi-use court obviously lends itself to less operating and maintenance costs. So as we conclude these options 1, 2, 3, and 4, you have to start putting dollar signs to these particular elements. As you see at the original on number one, this is all outdoor elements. There's a smaller classroom, which would accommodate, obviously, smaller groups. There certainly could be a kitchen in that smaller classroom. But the other elements are open to the weather. There is no conditioning of air. There is a lot less operation and maintenance costs associated with an outdoor multi-use court as opposed to an indoor gym. And so if we're okay with that, I mean, that's some of the things that we want you to consider as we go through the workshop. Please.
Is option one, is that a fence around the basketball court? Is that enclosed with a fence? Or is that just...
Is option one is fenced off? No, it is not fenced off.
Okay.
No. I think it delineates the surfacing material.
Okay.
Another question.
But the skate park will be fenced. So it when it's closed, it's closed.
And you do notice that.
What about, revenue opportunities? I mean, clearly some of the, like when we think about an indoor gym versus an outdoor, we know indoor gyms are a premium in this town, right? It's very hard to find a place to play indoors relative to outdoor space. And I'm just curious if, it's more cost to build an indoor gym than an outdoor one, but is there opportunity for use by the community if, let's say, again, a whatever basketball league wants to rent it out for a tournament over the weekend? I mean, could it pay itself back if that was the, what was decided to go with an indoor versus outdoor?
Certainly. The question is, would an indoor gym generate revenues to offset the O&M costs that occur annually? And you have to think about, we thought about the cost. We rent out gyms. We spent about $14,000 to $18,000 renting out a gym space from the school district. Yes, it is at a premium. There are activities that we've had to drop because of cost-saving measures. Open gym is one that comes to mind. People drop in for $1 or $2, it doesn't pay.
That might run contrary to the primary purpose of the gym being for the teams. If you're going to be running out to other groups, adult groups and stuff like that, then it's not available to the people that it's supposed to be available for.
Right. So that's part of our
skate park or anything else.
And so the comment is it, if we look to rent this facility out or any component of this, is it really truly available for teens as much as possible? And I think that we're looking for something that's a compromise, not completely. Obviously, we've got a teen center, but the other elements, such as the classroom, we certainly would want to open that up to other ages and interests of the community. I think that right now an example would be we have Generations Online when teens are in school, which they are throughout the day, from 8 until 12, we've got a senior computer class that meets at the teen center. It's a one-on-one class offered through Pathpoint. It's called Generations Online, and it's free to seniors. So we have an intergenerational use that started, and I think that what I've heard from council is they would like to see not just a single group utilizing this entire site. How can we open it up and best suit everybody's needs? And more importantly, how do we utilize these assets to the best of their capabilities? So if we have something that sits dormant for half the day and we have another use, I think we need to explore that use. But still keeping the integrity of our mission is to provide, for our teens.
Maybe I could add on to that, too. When looking at the statistics on who uses, for example, skate parks versus gymnasiums, it is kind of interesting because the kids that skate are not necessarily, and you guys can correct me on this, but are not necessarily the jocks that also play basketball and do some of these other things. waiting for somebody to wave their hand madly at me. So a nice aspect of even the multi-use court or the gymnasium is you actually may attract other teens and preteens that you won't with the skate park. So you really have more varied use, and that's a good thing. So that is one positive aspect of that. Yes.
Also, in the gym, since I haven't been in one for years, don't you have a seating area too that you also, are you going to have enough space for the bleachers or whatever is going to come out of the walls or wherever they come out of?
Yeah, the question is, would there be enough space in the gym for viewing and spectators? And what they've designed here in this 6,000 square foot facility is that half of one section of this would have bleachers just on one side. So it would be that you come in, it would be a bleacher side. And if you've been to the old gym at the high school, it's set up that same way where you come in and there's seating on the immediate side and then at the court, and then there's a small section on the other side for the team bench and the scorekeeper and so forth. So it is the largest smallest gym we could to get. Right, you're looking at something like the old gym at the high school. Another question, please.
Would that small gym accommodate potentially two courts?
No, just one.
Then one big one. You know how sometimes they go
parallel. Right, and this one is not designed to do two. We were looking, like I said, the idea was to get the largest basketball court, which is basically a high school size court, into a gym. And like I said, it does limit the seating to one side. And it does limit its capacity for courts. I mean, we could probably put in courts going the other way, but they certainly wouldn't be any kind of size that we would want to have competition. It might be a practice to go sideways. So that would be something that we want to consider. Thank you.
That's the way the old gym is set up that way, with cross courts with the other bleachers.
So it's collapsible bleachers. So there's a way to do that. And so really tonight's exercise is, as this workshop goes on, are you really looking to have an indoor gym? What are all the benefits? What are the cons? And how does that compare to an outside court? And those are some of the questions that we're trying to answer tonight. We want to bring this workshop into some kind of a consensus that we could formulate some direction for the commission as they take on the public hearing tonight, and then formulate some kind of a recommendation to council. So these elements, I'm glad there's some good questions, because these are the kind of things you've got to be thinking about. How does this thing, how does it look, how does it work when we build it, and how do we maintain it? Sustainability is crucial.
Very easy to accommodate. And just because it's not in the option you like, we can talk about that and potentially add it. And we say down below storage area and restrooms, we don't really know where they're going to be or how they're going to be configured at this point. It may be that the existing teen center restrooms are changed a little bit. Heather's shaking her head no. But we'll work on that, and those aren't really an issue for this evening, because I think we do need storage. We don't know where yet. And we do need to probably look at the restrooms a little bit, especially if we add a gym. We may need more restrooms, but we'll figure that out, and we'll add it in as necessary. You don't really need to comment on that. One last comment. As Joe was mentioning about the grant, there's $5 million available, and it's competitive statewide. Last year in the first round, there were, I think, 64 awards. I might get this wrong. It's on your sheet, so if I get it wrong, it's there. There's 62 or 64 awards, and 50 of them all created new parks. So this grant application's intent is to create new park area and to address issues of poverty in those communities that are lacking in parks. A benefit to your area is you don't have a lot of poverty. You have some, and you do meet the criteria in the grant application for low income. You don't meet the criteria for adding for parkland, because you have a lot between state parks property, and unfortunately or fortunately, they count that as well. And then the amount of parks you have in your city, you're a little bit less competitive as a result. And so I would tell you, as the person that's writing the grant, I think you want to not exceed a request of around $2 million. Your existing project under option one was about $1 million. If you add the gymnasium, it's adding about another $1 million. And then, you know, again, we haven't done all the cost estimates and brought what I'm basing these cost estimates on are that in 2005 you had your firm do some cost estimates. Luckily, construction costs are somewhat down right now, so I bet you're fairly consistent with the 2005 cost estimates. But again, I think we need to be careful when you choose which option you like, because we need to keep in mind issues such as cost. And maybe before we vote, we could talk a little bit about, for example, feelings about the classroom, you know, whether maybe it should be a little bit smaller. And then, unfortunately, they're not big-ticket items, though. I mean, the gymnasium is kind of the big-ticket item. So I guess at that point, we just open it up if there's any questions before we vote, or changes to an option you might like to see that we can easily accommodate. Okay.
I just had a question, Jen. The outside line, is that the actual property line, or is there a setback to streets and whatnot?
That is a little bit of a bone of contention, but I looked it up. And the way I read the code is that you have a front yard setback, but there's a zero side and rear setback unless it's adjacent to residential zoning. Now, the adjacent neighbor does have a residence, but it's not your zoned visitor surveying as well. So it could be a zero setback on the side and rear.
So looking at this is Atascadero Road right in front of us here.
Yeah, so the parking lot is located off of Atascadero Road, and that's your...
This is it right here? Okay.
So here's your...
Okay.
Here's your front yard setback. This is your side, okay. Side, and rear. Does that help? Okay. I know.
Yeah, I guess the other thing, too, is you know, I think it'd be great to actually have this classroom kind of come into something outdoor that, you know, these guys are working on bikes, and it's not an opportunity to do that out inside.
Right.
Necessarily to have some type of element. Number four, that actually kind of a continuation of the outdoor.
Could we bring the box?
option four for a second?
Option four?
So just to make sure we all know what you're talking about. So this area here?
Yeah, that's what I was asking. What was the property line, where it was at? Could I see your sound wall and bushes and whatnot? It seems pretty opportune to blow out something outdoor to make that facility even bigger, even though it's not enclosed.
That's true. So these, I think, are trees, and this is just a courtyard area. But you could have components of... one of the things, again, that came up was this outdoor solar pizza kitchen, and you could even have something like that here too, where you could cook inside, but you could also cook outside.
Yeah.
So you could use that courtyard.
That whole little vein there, without the gymnasium, with the corridor, the 20 feet, has a lot of potential for all kinds of multi-use, right there.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, this is a layout. It's kind of the detail.
And I wonder, these are property. I think before it did include restrooms. So it was 2,000 square feet before, but it included restrooms. And I guess what we're not sure of is if how big the kitchen requirement. You probably don't need the... I don't know. But anyway.
I think the size could be reduced.
Yeah.
We went from option one into these other options. It went to 3,000 square feet. It included a kitchen and some restrooms that were more of a joint-use restroom. A facility for not only the skate park but also the gym and the classroom. So I think the size kind of just ballooned up to 3,000, and there was some interest earlier on to having a larger classroom, but certainly sizing it back would be an option. I think that if you went forward with a grant application with 3,000 square foot, you're going to have to maintain that throughout the construction and through the operations. If you went down to a smaller size and thought, okay, we're going to go about 1,500 square feet, and then as the design progressed and you had the money, now you went up to maybe 1,700 square feet, it's more acceptable to add on a little bit more to one element as opposed to reducing it. Because if you're reducing something that's already been allocated through the granting process, then you're not really doing what you were supposed to be doing. But if I'm wrong, please add in, Jan, because I think that if you added a little bit more, say, having a classroom, but we'll keep it a little bit bigger because we could fit a little bit more on the site, and then I think it's more acceptable to go that route than the previous.
Okay, and just, I guess, my two cents is, it's always a balancing act because it kind of depends what you want to use that classroom for. With a kitchen in there, you could actually even have catered events in there. You could have small weddings and other things like that. So you always are weighing whether the size is, big enough for the number of guests that you might invite, or whether your maintenance fees, yearly are way higher than your need for that much capacity. In terms of what the grant expects, if you say you're going to build a 3,000 square foot building, they're going to expect you pretty much to build a 3,000 square foot building. If you say you're going to build 2,000 and then you still have enough funds left to build a 2,500 square foot building, you're still okay. So you could size it down, and then if you end up having enough funds to build it a little bit larger, that is an option. It just, again, it's programming-wise, too, what you think you might want or need. And whether this would be a good venue for a wedding, I don't know, anyway, with the skate park there and everything else.
Well, if you rent out the skate park, you may want to have a party associated with it, so maybe it's part of a celebration, whether it's a teen birthday or something like that, it could accommodate you.
I had a question on what this sentiment was associated with the amphitheater, because I think, to your point earlier, that serves an element of the community that's not served by a skate park. They're not jocks. They're not, whatever. I mean, they're maybe performers. And so that has appeal. And yet, an option, too, I was noticing, the advanced skate bowl is gone, and the amphitheater's in. So I guess, what was the general sentiment about... I mean, the skate park's clearly, obviously, a huge driver. We know that Los Osos Park has been phenomenally successful. We would expect this to be as well. Like, what is it to take that advance bowl out? Like, how impactful is that? I mean, not that we have to. I just kind of want to get a gauge of what the sense is about having that in or out.
I think that's a team question, and we can just ask what their thoughts are. A number of people, how taking that advance bowl out, how is that important to you?
Johnny would probably be just an e-girl skating at our parks, and that we can address that a little bit.
Okay. Do you? And just while Johnny's getting the mic, I would say one of the thoughts of the amphitheater is that it's not just an area where somebody could go play music. There was some thought that you could stage small plays there. You could have teen bands there. It's really, again, if there's the interest and if people are actually using it. So it does have a potentially some community components to it.
There's certain elements to having a big bowl at the at a skate park. For the most part, skateboarders will either skate more of like rails and whatnot or transitions, and certain skaters like to skate especially big transitions, and that's kind of what they're there for. I think Los Osos has shown that there's been lots of skateboarders who come who just skate the big bowls there. So there's definitely some importance to keeping a big bowl for a certain genre, I guess you could say, of skateboarders.
And I guess, just to throw it out there, that we may need to redesign the skate park anyway, because now we've played around with the site somewhat, and it may be that bowl comes back in a different manner in that 13,000 square feet.
Transition into this section, the first section of the skate park, and it's a little bit more wide, it's open, it's a little easier for the novice skater. And as you progress down the skate park towards the right side as we see it, it gets more advanced. The walls get a little bit more vertical. You can see in the three-dimensional drawings up here, look at the bowls, depth of the bowl as opposed to the upper side. The beginning section is a little bit more forgiving for those who are just getting into concrete bowl skating. A lot of skaters who can skate, they'll skate the modular, but as you progress and advance, you go down the line and into those more challenging ravines and environment. And those who aren't that good get to watch those who are good. And so how important is the deep bowl for anybody who skates? It's very important. Is it more important than having other elements on the site? That's what we're fleshing out today. But I think that as you progress as skating, you look for that advanced bowl, and usually the younger ones who aren't in advanced are in awe, and it's quite a spectacle to see folks flying, you know, out of bowls 3 or 4 feet in the air and getting vertical and coming back in. So you detract the higher end, higher skilled skater, that's for sure.
Another question.
Give me the microphone.
What does amphitheater really entail? So, and I asked this question in the context of, I guess, two things. One is serving the, you know, kind of theater crowd, and then serving the skate park. Like, you go to Cayucas and they have their skate competitions and there's a band playing, and that band is, you know, it's part of the vibe, it's part of the scene. So is the amphitheater like the only way to, I mean, what is the amphitheater versus just having nothing there? Is it like a raised, you know, stage? Like, what does it actually mean? Like, what's
it is mounded.
What's it going to do?
What does it do?
Well, but tell us about it.
Okay, I'll go up here. The basically, you see is the trend from option one, and this could be obviously brought into the other options, is you have possibly a green room or a staging or a dressing room, if you will, and then you've got access out here to a stage. And it's slightly elevated. This is a deeper section that's around the base of the stage, and then the amphitheater progresses up to a whole other level. So you can see there's stairs here and here. There's stairs here. There's stairs in the above. So this is, it sits down deeper on the site as an amphitheater. So if you're down, so the performance is down lower, and the seating is elevated and raises up to the other sections of the site.
And I think the seating is concrete?
The seating, it varies. There are concrete seating walls, and there's also open turf area for blankets or low back chairs and such.
Was there a discussion of the amphitheater serving in a way that can, you know, where the skate park's here and they're not down in the bowl, but they're not a skate bowl, I'm not too confused. No, but they're not, you know, in an amphitheater down here, but they're actually in a location where skaters could watch the performance and, you know, just kind of set that whole scene for the skate park itself.
We haven't talked about that connection. The only other type of add-ons we were looking at is possibly plumbing this electrically for a big screen. So we could have poles that would come in, and then we could have a screen, and then we could show movies at this site as well as live performances. But having the connection, I think that it's such a small site. Yeah. I think that if you had a band down there, even though you may not have full visual, you would have certainly all the sound. And there's obviously a potential to putting it on a big screen so the whole site could see it. So that would be an option that wouldn't take up much space, but it certainly would be benefit in the long run.
Well, and if you could put up option four again. I mean, the nice thing about the amphitheater is I think it provides, and it's a little bit different in option four, because it provides an area where I think you're protecting the sound, and so you do have fairly good acoustics. But you could get rid of the amphitheater, and there's no reason if you, for example, had an outdoor court or even in your outdoor court area where you bring in a band and amplified sound and you have a dance right out on the courtyard. I mean, you could do something like that as well. So you don't necessarily have to have it as an amphitheater. It's probably limiting. It's smaller, so it's different. But I would say that the seating for this amphitheater is not huge either. I mean, you might be able to get, what do you think, 40 people sitting there? Well, between the lawn.
I was thinking more, a little bit higher than that.
Okay.
Or maybe 100.
Or maybe 100. So you could,
at 4,000 squares, and then we're probably getting up to 100 and some change.
But it's not that sound, yeah.
It's not a real deep amphitheater. It isn't like the Hollywood Bowl. It isn't like this huge bowl. Safety and security of the site, but also for activities. We're not 100% sold on which component would be lit. Whether it be the amphitheater or the skate park or both, or even the basketball court. So right now, we certainly would have site lighting for security and liability and risk, but we're not sold on how late this is going to go. And probably we'd like to see some activities go at least until at least 7, if not 9 o'clock, and realize if you have an activity outside, like right now we have the skate park in the front of the facility, and at dusk, in the wintertime, it's about 4:30, 4:45. Well, the teen center's open until 7. So now we have the teens coming in and utilizing the site, but they're not able to do the skate park because it's dusk and it should be closed. And it's not safe. It's not adequately lit. So we would want to, if we were going to go into, and I think if we want to go past our standard policy, which is parks are closed between, you know, at dusk. If we wanted to extend this park open after dusk, we would have to choose which element and how is it supervised or is it monitored? How do we facilitate that particular component to the community? So that's something you're right. We haven't been sold because there's a lot of questions to go along with it. Yeah, when you want to do a venue that's after work hours or available to families, you need mom and dad to join the family. That's going to be a little bit later, and you know, evening show at the amphitheater, you're going to need some lighting. So and that will be a special occasion, not every day. So there's still some program questions that we have to answer, but that's a very good. Very good observation, and thank you. Any questions about any of the options, any questions about any of the components, because we are going to be looking for you to grab a dot and vote on one of these options.
Is there anything you want added to an option that's a kind of a small component that isn't in that component, but you kind of like it? You're giving away the component you like, but... anybody want to add anything before we vote? I mean, we can talk about it a little bit.
I don't see anything about drinking fountains or water facilities, and I'm sure they must be in here.
Actually, we talked about it. We just didn't throw them on these concept plans because that's more of a detail. And when we get into the design, that specific design will be included in our grant application. So Everything we're doing now is not reimbursable, but once we get into the grant application, and if we are awarded, and we all are hoping for the best, then we would come back and do site-specific drawings and details, and that's where you'd see electrical outlets and, you know, poles and things for different poles for our multi-use, if that's what we're going to do, drinking fountains.
Wireless internet.
We have that now. We have wireless internet at the teen center now. Definitely. So if you look at, please,
Kristen.
If you looked at concept one, look at it. Do you like it? Great. Do you like it? But you added, I really want a climbing wall. I really want, you know, something that are in different other options. Add that. Look at option two. What about option two? Do you like? What do you not like?
Is it possible for a climbing wall with no gymnasium?
Yes, it is very possible to have a climbing wall without the gymnasium. There are, and actually, one of the very, very original concepts has a climbing wall on it. So there are freestanding climbing walls. They can be one-side or two-side, even three-sided columns that stand up and have different challenges. There's ones that rotate. There's quite a different, quite a bit on the market for climbing walls. And so it's definitely an option. So if you like one of these, like if you like three, option three, you've gone through it, you really like that, that's what you're sold on, as is, that's where you're going to be voting. If you really like option three, but you really wanted something different in option three, option three is perfect, but I wish it had, you know, something different into it. More of, I don't want the lawn. I think the lawn's expensive. I think we need to have a bigger, I really want that amphitheater and reduce the classroom. So option four with a couple of conditions, that's okay, because we can go with that. And then option four. Now, option five, is something that we haven't thought about maybe just yet. Maybe option five is, I like half of option one and two, and we're going to make that an option five.
We're talking about the difference. I mean, we want to win. We want to be selected. Right. So, I mean,
it adds about it adds about $1 million, maybe a little bit more. Yeah.
As far as, yeah.
I Googled it, and I got some cost estimates. I mean, there's all sorts of estimates you can use, but they do give you a square footage cost, and it does anywhere from $1 million to $1.2 million.
And the longer we use it throughout the day, the more you're going to have to condition the air, the more lights you're going to work. Even though we're going to get into sustainability designs, we're going to look at putting some solar on a gymnasium to help to further costs of energy. So there are some revenue opportunities there. And there's some cost savings as far as our use now at the school district.
Are there going to be some height restrictions there? Coastal Commission around water there as far as the gymnasium?
Well, you know, that's a good point. I did look up the height restrictions, but I didn't look it up in the coastal zone because it's 30 feet for visitors serving commercial. But I don't know how tall. I think you could. I don't know if it
Well, you've got two right next door at the high school.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I think this, as a fallback quick answer, I think we're going to be fine. Because they're really close. That's good, but I think we're going to be all right with it.
So it seems to me that people kind of seem to know what they're going to vote for, and maybe there's no real tweaking necessary.
Is everybody kind of ready?
Okay.
I realize, as the process goes, we will go through this, and then we're going to be I had a few more things to discuss on the agenda and the workshop, and then we're going to get a small intermission and then come back to commission and really kind of go through it one final time for a recommendation. So if you have more questions, now's the time. If you've got some other questions before we get there, you'll have opportunities a little bit later as well.
The options are laying down here, and you can literally put your dots on the board. There's one on each one, that we're not going to count that. So this is option one is here, and there's just the small one that's in your handout. Option two is here, three is here, and four is here. You're welcome. Are we ready? Just come on over and...
I think we're ready. Go ahead and take your dots, make a vote. Like I said, any kind of questions, feel free. There's, now is the time.
We'll keep it on.
We have a few more items on this workshop, and then we'll conclude it. And then we really want you to just to stick around for just a few more minutes after this workshop. And if we open up the public comment, there'll be one more chance for you to say something about the direction we're going in. Jan?
Okay, so option number one got 8 votes, 2 got 2 votes, 3 got 0 votes, and 4 got 7. So I think we need, it sounds to me that clearly people liked option 1 and 4, but I think what we need to do is talk about how we maybe meld option 1 and 4 to get something that everybody really likes, because these are very close. So, for example, if we look at option 1, somebody mentioned to me that, for example, option 1 didn't have bike lockers and stuff like that. Those are easy. We can include those. So maybe some people could tell me why they voted for option 1 or why they didn't like option 4, and we can see how we can start melding some of those components.
I liked option 1. You know, it just seemed more planned out and more, more thought through, and I like the stuff, and the basketball court, the amphitheater theme, that's pretty cool. And
do you care that it's just a basketball court, or would you prefer that it be a multi-use court? I'm assuming some people voted for number 4 maybe because it included the multi-use court. Was that the case? Okay, I'm seeing people shake their heads. For the people that voted option 1 as their preference, do they care whether it's a multi-use court or if it's a basketball court?
I mean, multi-course, we could find some way to make it multi-course, even if it's not meant for that. But, either way, it's good.
Okay, so the people that voted for option 1, would you be amenable to a multi-use court?
It's really going to be 4 square. I prefer 4 square a lot.
4 square?
Right. 4 square is very big in our...
So if it's a multi-use court, you could do 4 square or whatever out there. Well, and the roller hockey and stuff like that,
yeah,
too.
Street hockey, yeah. Volleyball.
So maybe a show of hands, who voted for 1? And out of those who voted for 1, who would want a basketball court only?
That was easy.
So everybody wants a multi... So option 1 with a multi-use court is what we're saying, and definitely some kind of a striping or painting that would accommodate 4 square.
Okay.
Awesome.
And then those of you that voted for option 4, what are some of the components? Were there any, one of the things I like about option 4, and I didn't get to vote, is I do like...
For different things.
Okay.
Those are some of the points I had, too, that the amphitheater should be central, and... the continuity of having all the skate works in the back and over on the other side, the high school side, where it's progressive from modular all the way through, all the way up to the highest advanced level, the bowl. So for continuity and just flow and just the way it's laid out, it just looks like a better way.
Okay.
Anybody else?
I like the layout, and I also like the idea that... it was an outdoor multi-purpose use court, although, sure, great, we'd like a gym in there, but money-wise, this would be the best, and I like where the amphitheater is, so. And everything just seemed to fit a lot better.
Yeah, I like number 4 for the same reasons. I like the multi-use court as opposed to a gymnasium. Because I think the classroom is a great addition, and that would be enough covered space, air-conditioned space for that facility.
So I just wanted to lead you, not lead you a little bit, but give you the those of you who voted for option 4. If you looked at option 1, if you took option one and made that basketball court a multi-use and moved the classroom up to the front of the site, would you be amenable to changing your vote? Would you go with option one with what you liked in option four, like the multi-use court?
Could we flip-flop the basketball and move the amphitheater in also on that option?
And then switching the basketball to the amphitheater?
So, and I guess for the people that voted for option one, do you care, as long as you have your full facilities, the 14,000 square foot skate park and the 4,800 modular, do you care if they're all, it doesn't look like they would fit though, huh? We would probably have to play with this area in here a little bit, which with moving this over here allows you to do that.
Well, the classroom would be moved to the front, so you could move the basketball court.
Like it did in option four.
Yeah.
I guess for you that voted in for option one, were you mostly concerned that you were losing part of your skate park under the option four? And so was that part of some of your...
Show of hands on one. That and of you, did you want all that skate park, or were you worried about losing some of that skate park?
Was that
all of the skate park?
You wanted it all? That was part of your option on one? Mm-hmm. I'm assuming everybody. Johnny?
The ones that voted for one, does it matter whether the basketball court is next to the teen center or away? Or is it just the one that was voted?
Not necessarily. What you see, the size of these components on the site fit. The workshops that were earlier put the basketball court at full high school size next to the teen center so people playing basketball could be seen. They wanted to be the center of attention, but they wanted to play and be seen, and folks who were not playing could watch them. I think that was part of the reasons of putting it where it's at.
I think also from a programming point, versus it being in the back
part. So part of the element is a control point for staff, and having, and particularly if that particular court goes to a multi-use, you're going to have equipment associated with that multi-use, whether it's hockey sticks or badminton or four square balls or whatever, and that could be facilitated through the back window of the teen center, and staff could help facilitate equipment in and out. So it's another option to be thinking about.
Going back to the people that voted for number one, how many would be opposed to moving the classroom up? If it doesn't affect the layout sizes, it's just moving it up for security reasons. Anybody object to that?
So it looks like, I mean, for a show of hands, who likes the classroom up to the front of the facility site? Okay. So we've got about half that want it up in front as opposed to back here where it is on option one.
Like
Option four has it to the front of the facility site. Option
right.
one has it in the back.
Okay,
four is up front.
That's a pretty long, if you're carrying material and stuff to go teach a class. I mean, look at that walk. You can't drive there. And that's quite a walk.
Right, it's a long walk to bring your stuff in. In the front, I don't know if they were thinking about other uses outside of the teens. Other aspects of the community want to go there. The classroom in the front of the site tends to be more accessible.
I have kind of consensus that the classroom should be somewhere between 2,000 and 3,000 square feet. To be honest with you, in the grant I can catch, I can say it will be between 2,000 and 3,000 square feet. So if we're okay with that, is everybody okay with that? I think we can go there. It sounds like the other issue is whether the basketball, it sounds like the other issue for the group was some people like the multi-use court in the back versus here. Again, for group one, it sounds like, Heather, you have programming maybe concerns if it got moved.
It's just harder to control.
That sounds reasonable. That's a reasonable.
Okay, so keep the multi-use court where it is. So the people that voted for number four, are you okay with that? Again, I don't think we can make it fit, but I guess, so are people okay with the modular skate park where it is? And I think if we can try to provide some access between the two sites, we should probably try to do that so we can use the high school parking lot.
No, that'd be the main objection that I would have right there. It's the modular part right where it's located.
Okay.
It should be moved over to the other side where you've got visibility. You can be seen after hours where, you know, like where it is now, that type of thing. Or into a different location where you've got more direct supervision over it.
I will tell you that I worked on the Los Osos Skateboard Park, and for the bowls, and there's quite a bit of difference in noise generation from bowls, concrete bowls, to modular skate parks. For the bowls, we had to provide a sound wall to the adjacent residences. The problem with modular skate parks is they're above ground, so if you do a sound wall for those, you're building a pretty big sound wall. I guess I would also recommend that you might want to consider, and again, I don't know how we could make it fit. One of the things Joe and I talked about was whether we could maybe split up the modular skate park somewhat and then make it fit. But if we could move it away from that property line, because there are some residential uses, even though it's zoned visitor commercial, there is a private residence down here. That is a consideration. It will come out of the environmental document. And if it does, then you don't have many options at that point. So it is something to think about. Because they may either require you to build a fairly good sound wall or to move it somewhere else on the site. So maybe if we could leave it as, again, I think it's the size issue. The skaters want all their components. If we can make it fit somehow so it's not adjacent to the property line, we'll fool around with that. Would there be general support for that?
Can I make maybe a suggestion?
Sure.
It seems like 1 and 4 need a number 5.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think that, I mean, if that's...
I think that's what we're blending together.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm just saying that,
So number 5 is a combination of 1 and 4.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it looks very similar. It has all these components on it. So it has these components, and really the big thing would be the size of the classroom moved to the front of the site and a multi-use basketball court. And once you change those two, now you have all the components that are in both options to make the option 5, and now to go to the design person and say, how is this going to work on this site? With a heavy emphasis, it sounds like we want to really keep all the skating on the east part of the site for not only sound, but also for security reasons, drive-bys along that road, the police could easily scan and see if anybody's in skating in this site after hours. So security is an issue that we've thought about.
Would on option 4, would it, instead of being in this kind of 90-degree angle reference thing, would it be out of the question, Jan, to take the amphitheater and put it in the multi-use outdoor area, triangulating through the property, and bring the multi-use back behind the existing teen center? Is that... Because then we'd have all this openness.
Well,
or
the only thing that... What this does nicely is this provides a viewing area for all of the activities.
Okay.
And if we move the amphitheater... And the viewing area, in a sense, over here, we've lost kind of... It loses the viewing area aspect.
But, I mean, there's a lot of elevation change in that. You're only going to be able to view off that back wall there,
well,
off the amphitheater, right? The rest of it's going to... You're not going to see anything.
Yeah, you're going to be another foot or two down on the next level. So you want the perimeter wall seating is where the viewing comes from the other sides.
Well, and I think, again, these are concept drawings, so I think you can give us general direction. The only thing is you won't see it as a commission. It will go your direction. We'll fool around with it, and it will go to the city council. But we can fool around with the design and try to do, again, we're melding those two and making an option 5, which would allow us to draw this over, move this up, and maybe change the amphitheater in the court area a little bit more. So, again, we can play with that.
You got the front row nodding. How does the second row feel about that option?
Which even makes the skate park even more visible because it's up further.
Yeah. So what is option? Yeah. Let's, we're going to recap option 5. And I can see a show of hands. If you want to stick with your 1 through 4, fine. If you think that
option 5 is the option you want to go with, then we'll make that move. So option 5... takes this option, it moves the skate park and elements towards the south, if you will, towards the parking lot. It brings the modular on the east side of the site. It takes the classroom. It increases the size to 2,000 to 3,000 and brings it to the front of the site. And the basketball court turns into a multi-use court. The amphitheater is staying the same. And there's some other, obviously we're going to do some green belting. You see all the options have trees and so forth in them, and I think you're going to see more of that as we get into the details. But that's pretty much it. So it's five. That's what five looks like. Now, show of hands, who would go for five? I think we've got 100% consensus, and I think that's great work. So we're going to take a quick little break. Jane's going to talk about sustainability and some public art, so put on a little bit of imagination cap, and then we're going to go right into a very, very small break just to get resituated to our seats, and then we'll go into a public hearing, which we can actually get a motion out of our commission. So, Jan, last two items.
The grant gives a lot of points to sustainability, and one of the things we heard from the last group was, in terms of sustainability, it was like a 10-year-old that says you should have cisterns. So I don't believe there's any contention that we shouldn't do this. I just want to make sure that there's a nod of heads. The grant tells you to aim for at least silver LEED, L-E-E-D. Is there anybody that feels strongly that we shouldn't be doing that kind of stuff? I mean, that means...
We should have, what, cisterns, you said?
Cisterns, they, where you collect the water off the building and stuff. I guess I should explain for other people that might not know. A silver LEED building, so we will include that in the application unless there's anybody that feels that maybe that's a waste of money. Usually you save it in energy costs later on. So I think I have consensus on that issue. The other thing they kind of talk about in the grant application is public art. At the previous workshops, we heard quite a few people said keep the whale, and that would be cheap. You could offer yearly events where people come up with designs of how to change the whale. I mean, you could have it painted. They dress the bears in Los Osos for whatever reason. But you could do different things with that. That doesn't really cost money. You could also do some type of competitive thing where it's a freestanding piece of art and doesn't necessarily have to be very expensive. Maybe what I want to hear from you guys more than anything is everybody kind of supportive of the idea that there should be some type of public art? Anybody feels very strongly about what that should be? There was a suggestion for a mural as well. Those can be kind of expensive, so I'd just throw that out there.
I was thinking of going to the mural thing. Maybe it could be something that's kind of evolving and changing. It's a simple concrete wall that is actually maybe part of the sound.
Joe brought up that idea.
I was thinking that a great idea. You got double use. You got a sound wall and you got an art wall. And it can be changed with different groups coming out. Oh, we're ready for a change. Or they could be different classes. Different years could have just add on. It could be some kind of a sequential type of an artwork that goes on. I think it's a great idea. And it really gets folks who have that talent out and exposed in a kind of a nice little environment that they're comfortable in.
One of the things that's taught in the class.
You bet. You have a classroom and it's public art. It's how do you do murals? You know, it's the whole complexity of that incorporated into a class and then practical use right on site. What a great venue for that. So I think that's you've got something there. When option five, when you move the modular over, you create an open space there on that side of the property. And you really, I mean, if you put something in there that's going to be low maintenance, it's going to be like this art wall, it would be dual purpose, and you would be able to monitor that fairly easily. It wouldn't be a high activity or high risk activity, such as a climbing wall.
So do I have general consensus that there should be some type of public art, and maybe we look at the wall concept that's very simple, and it can involve changes year to year, which makes it, you know, whether it's teens or others that are competing to change that design on that wall. Everybody feel comfortable with that? With that, I'm done.
I think we're going to conclude our workshop. I think you guys... Thank you. As soon as Jan pops up here, AGP video, give us another minute or two.
What's the possibility of getting a recap on the game?
wait, update Johnny Munoz.
Thank you. Final.
All right.
That's final.
Oh, that's the final.
Yeah, you said final, didn't you?
That was game four for him.
Done right.
Johnny, you say final? That's the final.
I don't think they're going to do it this year. I don't know.
So, unfortunately, there's no game seven to watch on Saturday, but the playoffs will continue down the road. I think we're ready. AGP video.
All right. Welcome back. We are continuing on with our Team Center Master Plan discussion, and we're moving into agenda item, actually public hearing is our next item, where folks from the public, and we just had a nice group of representatives of the community providing their input, but if anyone wants to come up right now and share any comments, you'd have 3 minutes to do so. It doesn't look like it. So we'll close public hearing and move on to B1, which is a discussion of the components of the team master plan.
It's been kind of a longer meeting than we're used to. Public comment we had at the beginning, and then we will have a chance for a public comment during the public hearing after staff's presentation, if there's anybody, any takers. So good evening again. Some of the Teen Center Master Plan process continues with this workshop that we just had. It's the fourth out of five. This master plan started in 2004-ish and has gone through several different cycles. It has been a finalized concept plan in 06, and now we're revisiting for funding purposes. We feel that the Prop 84 grant opportunities warrant us workshops, and that's why we've done our workshops. Last three have been at the Teen Center. We targeted various age groups in this community at large all through the process. Again, this is our fourth out of five. Our next and hopefully final workshop will be with City Council. That will be tentatively scheduled for May the 10th. As a tentative schedule, May the 10th. It is on the tentative scheduling guideline. And once the mayor finalizes that agenda, we'll know for sure. So we're encouraging all the community to keep your eye on our website and also the notices for public meetings to assure that you don't miss our next workshop. Basically, at the conclusion of Workshop 4, we had discussed concepts that were developed through the process of Workshops 1, 2, and 3. Tonight you had Options 1, 2, 3, and 4 as far as designs. 1 was the original concept that was approved back in 2006, and the other 3 were modified versions with the different components that we had discussed. Through the DOT exercise and consensus from the group, we've developed option 5. And option 5 basically is a version of 1 and 4 merged together. And I'll just recap what option 5 looks like. If you were to reference option 1, and basically the changes would be as follows. The skate park and modular skate park elements would all be aligned on the east part of the property, and hopefully they would extend out within the property bound, obviously within this property, but not too far into the parking, but possibly into the parking, but keeping everything on the east side as best as possible. The classroom on the west side of the property would increase in size to approximately 2,000 to 3,000 square foot, and its location would be moved up to the front of the properties just adjacent to the existing teen center. this would allow it through that type of a medium. So that is what option 5 looks like, and it concludes my report. So I will turn it over to commission at this time.
All right, so I guess tonight we'll be looking to make a motion to the City Council. I think we're all pretty clear on what the option is we want to go for, so I'd be looking for a motion.
I'd like to make a motion that we forward to City Council the option 5.
Could I make a slight amendment to number 5 or a suggestion?
Yeah, I need to it is a public hearing, and so opening the opportunity. If there's questions, we can discuss questions now at the report, then you'd want to open it up for any kind of public comment, close that period, and then have further discussion amongst the commission
for
I'm sorry to lead you down the wrong way there before.
Excellent. So do we have anyone from the public who'd like to share comments, ask questions about this evening's workshop? Okay, we have no one, so we'll close the public hearing discussion. And I guess open up then for comments from the commission. Questions, comments?
I'd just like to make a comment about, it's a little detailist, but the restrooms in the access to Morro Bay and that gate area there, and since we're going to move everything to the east boundary there, I think that maybe this facility, you know, especially with saving money, not having a gymnasium, should maybe have another restroom that side of the property, because as it is now, it's all restrooms are in the front parking area here, and maybe that's a nice transition for the people that are going to be parking in Morro Bay, because this is not a huge parking lot. It's a nice place for them to use a restroom, drop their trash, and continue on to the parking lot and then also serve, you know, having restrooms facilities on both sides of the facility as a whole.
I think it's a good observation. I think that if we were going to have access on the rear part of the properties for some kind of a joint parking when school's not in, we have a special event, and having a facility there would certainly be an option.
And I'm just thinking, I mean, looking at this amphitheater, if there was an event there, where are people going to go to the restroom? They're going to have to travel all the way to the front part there.
Right. So a standalone would accommodate all the activities that are back there, as well as the folks going through. I certainly would, if that's something that we want to add into your motion, as far as like I could add it on to this option 5, certainly. Also, in option 5 is also, we're not going to truncate any of some of the amenities that are in option 4. But still bring forward the bike lockers and the bike racks.
Absolutely.
Small things like that, the picnic areas, things like that, certainly be elements when we want to continue with option 5. I'm seeing a lot of nods and yes, and then you would agree with me. I would know that we would want to continue that as well.
Comments? Other comments or questions?
Well, good idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't see that.
No, I think it's a good idea to go forward with option 5.
Okay, so we want to try a motion again?
I'd like to make a motion that we present option 5 to City Council.
Should we want to comment on that additional?
With the addition of a standing restroom at the north end of the property by the gate, if that's feasible.
I'd like to second that motion.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None? With that, we'll adjourn our meeting. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you all.
Okay, very good. Yeah. I'm not glad you're being very expedient in that motion. Okay, our stomachs are talking to each other. And our.
Good.
We'll see you next time. So they'll have two meetings in May.
It's hard to get going.
I wanted to ask that question to Joe. He said May 10th, and this group meets the third Thursday. Oh, I see. We don't have to be there. Oh, I see. Oh, yeah. Here.
Thank you.